everything. So I will try to start the slideshow. Okay, you can start.
Okay, would you like to know what happened and why I didn't answer?
Yeah. Sure.
So I watched the other talks, and the Mac that I'm presenting from went to sleep because I was watching while this one was ready. And we have two factor machines. And for some reason, when my Mac went to sleep while I was watching on the other computer, and I came back to rejoin, it doesn't want to look at the two-factor card. It wants to accept a password, and then I have to restart my Mac. So apologies, and thank you all for sitting through this away. Okay, so I presented a KNL cluster that we had just gotten at the last HIPIC, so last October. And what I'll try to do in this talk is just touch on some of the things that we've discovered since then. And it was very nice to be able to listen to Will's talk to hear. We actually had a conference call a week or two ago. Sounds like they've made progress and we're headed in the right direction as well. Am I sharing my screen or are you changing the slides? I'll keep talking. So again, this is a USQCD machine that we bought last October. We bought last August, and we got three racks installed before the last HEPIX, and we exercised the option to add the fourth rack, and that was awarded on the first day of our fiscal year of FY17, and we took delivery the last week in October. So we installed the fourth rack of 64 KNL nodes the last week of October, and we wanted to make the top 500 run that was due October 31st, November 1st. So once we had that rack installed and we made the run, we had a lot of success, and we've basically been running since September 1 with the KNL cluster. And we've definitely had good successes, but as Will pointed out, there are quite a few gotchas. And because we got the early release chips, we probably have a bit more cleanup to do. And I'll talk about kind of the same things that Will's group is headed. It's good to hear that CentOS 7 resolved the problems that we talked about on our last conference call. So this, at the time, was also competitive procurement, and it considered traditional Xeons, it considered NVIDIA GPUs, and then the PHY chips. And we've worked with all of the groups to benchmark their codes, and the groups that are running on single node are mostly happy with the KNL nodes, but we put a lot of work into multi-node jobs. So the fourth rack of nodes was installed, and we did hit the top 500 at number 397. Turns out we also made green list at number 10. We also, we also had to move all four racks after they were installed. We were just a few months away from putting everything into its permanent home. So we had to install the machine and then move it in December. That wasn't ideal, but that just worked out with the way the renovations in the computer center worked out. We also have flat and cache memory modes that users request that sometimes hang the machine. We also want to do that in an automated way. Will mentioned that Storm does that for you. We run PBS Torque Maui, and we don't have that. The multi-node jobs still have some work to go. We have already replaced 26 nodes out of our 264. So we're definitely seeing those failures, and we want to walk through the whole cluster to get rid of any bad MC RAM, any bad manufactured chips. And then we have the goal to put, before July 1st, what we have now in the test bed into production so that this new year starts off for USQCD with a updated and best we can get it machine. So here is our entry in the top 500. We, down at the bottom, you can see we reached 400 and almost 26 teraflops. And on the green list, at number 10, we were almost 4 gigaflops per watt. So we're very happy with the machine, and I echo what BNL says, that it was definitely a lot of work. It's still a work in progress, but the amount of science that's been done between the two projects in USQCD, they're very happy. So a total of 264 nodes. We're approaching 17,000 cores and over 50 terabytes of memory. And the whole machine, as I mentioned in the last talk, is Intel-based. So it's an Intel motherboard, Intel Omnipath, Intel Xeon Phi. The Seagate disks, we've had some returns on those guys because of all the reboots and power cycling that we have to do that Will mentioned. So software-wise, we are in production at CentOS 7.2 kernel with somebody asked the question about the Intel compilers. We always suggest our users run the Intel compilers, and we had early questions. There was more than a 20% difference between GCC and Intel compilers. So we always recommend people use PHY with the Intel compilers. Back to this memory option, a little bit more about that. This is the fast memory, the 16 gig memory that can either be addressed directly or can just serve as cache. And so we were chasing this around, I mentioned in the last talk, how we were going to change between modes and what was going to happen on the reboot when we hung. So the hangs were apparently random. Some nodes would reboot and other times they wouldn't. So we do send an IPMI power cycle in every job. And as Will said, they're not willing to do that and we're not crazy about it either, but that's what works for now. So we will do the same solution that Will mentioned, that is to get all of the old chipsets out. They're not current if they're marked bad. And then go to a new BIOS that Intel has not yet released. So that appears that that could be quite a bit of work for us, 264 nodes to be checked and possible several hours on each. So we still have to work out the details on how we're gonna walk through the cluster to make that update. Maybe we do a rolling update and leave what we have in production and start a new environment with this rollout. But it depends on how many chips we have to replace, whether our vendor, we bought these from Koi, and so maybe Koi will be on site if they expect a lot of failures, or maybe we'll pre-stage. We have to walk through the test bed first. We also have Omnipath in our machines, I mentioned last time. We don't have the dual rail systems. We only have a single Omnipath interface. I talked a bit last time about the configuration of the cluster. But again, the key point is that you need more than a single core to drive Omnipath, and that's been something that the projects have had to work on within their code. We did install the subnet manager for Omnipath on two hosts. We had the same problem where the switches only support, 128 attachments in the fabric. So we did immediately set up two Omnipath subnet managers. Oh, that got darked out. The dark upper left box in the network fabrics diagram, that is our 16P cluster on Omnipath. And you can see the connection that we made back to InfiniBand for everything else. This is the only Omnipath we have in our fabric. And so we had to set up Lustre routers and in regular IP routers between Omnipath and InfiniBand. So the main use of that gateway, those gateways, are for the file systems. We do have Luster sitting on InfiniBand, and we made 4 Luster net routers between Omnipath and InfiniBand. We still serve some of our file systems over NFS over InfiniBand, so your home directory is still there, a distribution directory that's common to all the nodes, and there we set up just 2 regular IP routing hosts. So that served well, and we could add more hosts for redundancy. We talked about doing that, but so far this configuration for the gateway has served us well. So the biggest things left still to do are the final benchmarking on the codes for the projects that still aren't up and running full time on the KNLs. We work with the projects directly in USQCD, and we've also tried to help support the benchmarking for the new USQCD machine at Brookhaven. One thing we talked about last time was how much spread we saw between the processors, and we had talked about binning the nodes so that most of them were in a sort of medium or regular partition, and then we would move 10% out into the fast partition and the slowest 10% out in slow. We may not need to do that since a lot of our jobs were only single node, and since as we walk through each processor to make sure it passes the screening test, maybe we won't see such a big performance spread. So that's still on the back burner. We did not implement that. We also, as I said, we have PBS Torque Maui, and so we don't have the automated changing modes between cache and flat. We still think we'll probably have a little background script to do that. That's not currently running. Back to the test bed. We will walk through before the end of June and have this into production with CentOS 7.3 with the XPPSL 151. That's an upgrade for the kernel for Xeon Phi that we have not updated since install. Also, from talking with Intel and BNL, we have on our list to investigate this zone sort memory cleanup for the kernel module. And also, Intel has a cluster checker tool that we have installed. We just need to configure and start using that. We had last meeting the HPC Birds of a Feather, and obviously, I'm not there, and we're not having that again, but we want very much to share our experiences with the other Knights Landing sites to make sure that we're up to date on the latest updates and snags and benchmarks. So we'd like to keep that open. So any of these things from the benchmarking group, while you're at procurement stage or benchmarking, we're still very interested. So yes, that's our environment in a nutshell. Still lots of work to do to roll out the new versions, but we definitely have seen several projects in USQCD who are quite happy with the KNL cluster. So thank you very much for the remote presentation, and I can take questions.
Okay, thank you.